grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want you to think back. When was the last time that you were amazed by something? Maybe it was a sunset. Maybe it was something you saw or some event that you witnessed. But a moment when you were completely awestruck. It's odd and, in my opinion, a little unfortunate that there seems to be this inverse relationship between our age and our ability to be amazed at things. The older we get, the more difficult it becomes, the less frequent it happens that we're amazed or awestruck by something or someone. After all, the new becomes old, the extraordinary becomes just ordinary and every day. And this happens in every aspect, every facet of our lives, and unfortunately, it also happens in our spiritual lives. It may be that those old familiar Bible stories become just that, old and familiar. Maybe the hymn or the song that you used to love to sing now seems more like a funeral march, and you wonder how it wound up ever having so many verses, and why in the world Mason, when he was putting the service together, would add all of the verses into the bulletin. There's a sad thing that can happen, and one of the most tragic things for us as Christians is that we begin to think of Jesus' words and works in the same way as just ordinary, commonplace, nothing new. We've heard it all before. And when that happens, worship becomes more of a job than a joy. And so if that's where you're at this morning, or if you've been there in the past, and if not, praise God and keep it in the back of your mind for the future. If that's where you've been or where you are, then just pause for a moment and consider the amazing gifts that God has given. You know how amazing our God is in everything that he's done for us. See, Jesus, he speaks with authority and he works with power. And he does it for you and me. And he often does it in places and at times where we least expect it. If we catch a glimpse of one of these moments where this happens, a moment much like this morning for us, it happened to a people who were gathered for worship in a synagogue in Capernaum. Now, Jesus was there in the city with his disciples. He had traveled there, and they happened to be in the city over the Sabbath day. And as was his custom, when he was in a town on the Sabbath, he would often go into the synagogues in these places and worship with the gathered people of God there in those places. And I wonder what the people from the town were expecting when they went to the synagogue that morning, because this is early on in Jesus' ministry. Likely they hadn't heard of him. Jesus hadn't done much up to this point to make a name for himself. He was a relative unknown. So I wonder if the people gathered for worship that day, they probably went into worship much the same way maybe we do sometimes, expecting just another ordinary, average Sabbath of worship. There'd be some prayers, there'd be some psalms, there'd be some readings. A rabbi would get up and comment on the law of God. And they probably knew kind of what to expect because they'd heard it all before. The rabbi, whoever it was, would sit down and begin to teach about which laws were the most important for them to keep in mind for this coming week. He would tell them how far they could take, how many steps they could take on their Sabbath walk, how much mint or dill or cumin, the spices that they needed to tithe for that week, how much that would be. But then Jesus showed up. And this, what maybe they were expecting would be an ordinary, average Sabbath day of worship, completely amazed them. Because Jesus sat down and began to teach as one who had authority, not as their scribes and others had before them. See, they were used to gathering for worship every Saturday, and they were used to the rabbi sitting down and teaching about a figurative ladder to heaven that they needed to climb in order to get to God. They were used to hearing about the things that they needed to do to fix the wrongs that they had committed, to live up to the standards that God had wanted them to live up to. But Jesus came, And immediately they recognized that something was different, not just different because he was new, but there was something different about his teaching. Now, that ladder was still there, but Jesus didn't exhort the crowd to climb it for themselves to reach God. Instead, he talked about the good news, the gospel, the coming kingdom of God, that God himself was climbing down this ladder to them, to meet them where they were. He preached the good news about release to captives, forgiveness for sins, and light and life to those who had been living in the shadow of death. He preached healing to those who were broken and brokenhearted. And it was incredibly good news. It's maybe a little hard for us to grasp because we hear the gospel every single week. And tragically, maybe for some of us, it loses a bit of that amazement factor that these people had hearing it for the first time after hearing so long all about the things they needed to do but couldn't in order to reach God. It was incredibly good news. The crowd who was gathered in that synagogue for worship, they were amazed, awestruck at what they were hearing and seeing. But not everybody had that reaction. Because there was a guy in the crowd who was possessed by an unclean spirit. And whenever and wherever the gospel is preached in all its truth and purity, you can bet the devil's going to be working overtime to create as much noise and confusion and distraction from that as possible. And so, true to form, this man with the unclean spirit, he stood up and began shouting, and this is what he said: "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And at this point, knowing the rest of the story, you might be thinking, what was this spirit thinking? You know, if he just kept his trap shut and stayed quiet, then maybe he would have flown under the radar and he could have gone on possessing this guy for years. But he didn't. And I believe that he couldn't remain silent. See, I think this man, he had probably attended the synagogue week after week on the Sabbath with others, and probably never made a peep. And it makes a certain sort of sense. If what they had heard in that synagogue week after week was a message about rules and regulations, about traditions and tithes, about all of the things that they needed to do to stand out before God, it makes a certain sense why the devil would remain quiet then. The devil is perfectly content to let falsehood be spoken. The devil's perfectly content to let self-righteousness march souls to hell. But when someone, and in this case, when Jesus, the very Son of God, stands in that place and begins to proclaim the gospel that God has drawn near to his people, that forgiveness is being offered freely, you can bet the devil is going to speak up to make as much noise to, if it possible, distract and detract from that message as possible. But in answer to the devil's taunts, Jesus turned to the man and he said simply, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And the spirit did. Because when confronted with the authoritative word of God, the only thing the devil can do is flee. Now, what do you think the people who had gathered there for that Sabbath worship, as they were leaving, what do you think they remembered from that event, that service? There were some prayers, there were some psalms that they sang, there were some readings. A new visiting rabbi got up to speak, and then this man with an unclean spirit stood up and began shouting. It's kind of hard to remember the content of the sermon when there's an exorcism in the middle of it, right? Except that these people did remember. They remember not just the works of Christ, but they remembered his words as well. There was no doubt in their mind that something new had happened. And so as they left, they said among themselves, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they listened to him. The powerful and authoritative word of Jesus always wins against the noise of the devil. See, Jesus speaks with authority and he works with power for you and me. And this isn't something that Jesus just did 2,000 years ago. It's not simply like we're remembering an event, something that Jesus used to do. He still works that way for you and me today. The powerful and authoritative word of God still causes the devil to flee and puts him in his place. It still speaks out against the lies of our sinful nature and the guilt of our conscience. So I ask you now, when you came in for worship this morning, as you came through the narthex doors, what were you expecting today? Just another ordinary, average Sunday morning worship. Come in for some hymns. We have some prayers, some readings, a sermon. Just an ordinary, average Sunday of worship. But then Jesus shows up. As he shows up every week, as he's promised, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. He shows up in words you heard spoken just moments ago. When I said, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when you heard that, when you hear those words each week, those aren't my words or Pastor Mark's words or whoever happens to be speaking them. And we're saying them, but they're the words of Christ. And they're said with his authority. And when those words are spoken, your sins are removed from you as far as the east is from the west. Even if it doesn't feel like it, even if you still feel that guilt, it's gone on the same authority and with the same authority that cast out the demon all those years ago, that healed the sick and raised the dead. See, what happens here week after week, it can begin to seem ordinary, average, commonplace. And yet God uses these ordinary, average, commonplace things to reach out to us, to reach down into our lives through his word and through our hearing of it, through water, through bread and wine. Through these ordinary, common, everyday things, God offers us forgiveness, adoption into his family, and strength that we need to see us through each day and every week. So if you came in today expecting just another ordinary, average Sunday morning of worship, pray that you would open your eyes and see that what God does here in our midst every single week is nothing short of amazing and jaw-dropping. In his name, amen.